You might like to turn in your Bible to Psalm 147. And you would note, if you, looking back into history, in the days of Noah, Noah walked with God, but a huge host of people did not. They chose not to. But God, in his grace, had Noah build an ark, and 120 years in doing so, so that they had 120 years to pay attention to this monstrous battleship being built in the middle of them. And they could see that, but they chose not to honor it. Now, Psalm 147, just a statement among many, many statements that we need to be mindful of, if I can. Picking up in verse 3, he healeth the broken in heart, he bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of stars, he calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. And Peter, you have to turn there in the Gospel of John in chapter 21. Our Lord dealing with Peter, and Peter is going to say to him, you know all things. Peter's being exercised. You know all things, Lord. Now, with that in mind, over to Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 23, in our study of Jeremiah, and you will note in chapter 23, picking up, please, where we were, at least pick up that part of it. Verse 23. God is making a clear statement in the light of the false prophets, in the light of the people being swayed by them, in the light of the hardness of heart that was increasing daily, almost daily. And in the process, so God was spelling it out very clearly. And he makes it clear because to Jeremiah and those who would listen. Verse 23. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Verse 24. Can any hide himself in secret places, that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord. Don't I fill heaven and earth? Don't you know I am omnipresent? I am everywhere in time and everywhere in space. I am everywhere where there is no time and there is no space. I am omnipresent. There's nothing outside of me. Wow. Now, he's saying that to help the people. Because here are these false prophets and everyone shouting and saying what they're doing, etc. So now, having said that and picking up that little bit of thinking, understanding, God is trying to help them understand that God isn't way off in Thule land somewhere. God is very conscious of each and everything at all times. Omnipresent, omniscient, etc. Now, so in verse, if I can, in the light of that, here are the prophets, false priests, the kings, unbelieving. God knows all about them and all about the people. And that's what God is reminding them, that here's all the population like in the days of Noah. Interesting, the days of Noah, there was no politic and there was no religion. So in the days of Noah, everyone would be conscious. There's them and God. So there was no confusion, nothing. So when they did what they did and thought what they thought, they did it with clear clarity that perhaps people could try to hide today. Now, so here, in the light of that, so here's the prophets, the priests, and the kings, and God knows, God is trying to tell them that he is a present God, he's not an absentee God, and he is present, and he is knowing. And he's knowing. And so Jeremiah is knowing that God is knowing. And the people ought to be knowing that God is knowing. So I want everyone to know that God is knowing. He's a knowing God. Everyone needs to know. So they need to understand there's nothing, anyone, anywhere, anyhow, any way, any shape, here and anywhere, that God isn't very knowledgeable about. He's knowledge about everything and anything to the nth degree. Now, so that's Jeremiah, and Jeremiah is trying to help the... Jeremiah is encouraged because he knows that God knows, and the people need to understand, but they don't want to, but they are given opportunity to understand. So in the process, that's what's going on. God is knowing. Now, we're going to pick that up so we can follow. But before we do that, here we are in the church age right now. So I'm interested in the light of Jeremiah's day and the ultimate Nebuchadnezzar leveling the city, burning the temple. In the light of all that, I'm interested in our day. Hold your finger here. We're coming right back. Over to Revelation and chapter 2. And in Revelation chapter 2, and may I pick up the thought in chapter 2, and there's seven churches in Asia Minor. The seven churches are chosen by God to give their real, literal, existent assemblies. And they are put in order. Remember, think of a horseshoe, and here's Ephesus, and you go around like that, and here's Laodicea in Turkey. Now, and in doing that, God is going to show church history how it's going to go. But in the process, all of those churches are real. Now, I'm interested, you're interested, maybe, in the light of comparing and noting Jeremiah and why did you say that? What was the problem in Jeremiah's day? They forgot about God. They left God out. God was on vacation somewhere. That was the wrong thing to do. So, Revelation chapter 2, and you'll notice in verse 2, to each church, Ephesus, I know thy works. I am knowing what I'm knowing about your works. I know everything that's going on in Ephesus, everything. Now, and if you turn to each one, God's going to repeat the same. I'll just show it to you. You already know it, if I can. Sliding over, to verse 19 even. To take a big jump. 2 and 19. I know thy works. And the word know is in the perfect tense. It means he's knowing with the result that he knows. He doesn't need to know. He knows perfectly. Now, God, here we are. And God, here we are in your presence. And we, churches, tend to forget they're in God's presence. And they have everything going on, but they forgot God's presence. And when you're conscious of God's presence, all the hoopla disappears. It isn't there. There's no way on earth it won't match up. Wow. Now, so here's the church. Here we are, and we're in the God's presence. No matter understand it or not, that's what it is. So now we can go back to Jeremiah and pick up the information that helps us to understand being in God's presence. Jeremiah. And in chapter 23. Remember now, the Lord knows and is knowing, and let everyone involved be knowing. Be knowing, God knows. You ought to know that God knows. How's that? Every day you get out of bed, go to work, go to school, whatever you have, whatever kind of things are going on, you need to remember. We forget. God knows. How much does God know? Everything. Everything. When doesn't God know everything? Never. Never. God knows everything forever. Perfectly. And we forget that. When we forget it, you have what's happening in Jeremiah. Now, if I can, in the light of that, and Jeremiah, and remember now, they needed to have one other thing while we're on it. Chapter 23, and in verse 20, remember, we did that at length so we could exercise an understanding of it. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he have executed, till he have performed the thoughts of his heart in the latter days. And we share all that. And then the verb, there's a verb and a noun, ye shall consider it perfectly. And I'll put it simply what we did. You are going to have understanding of what you think you understand. I'm telling you, for all of these years, all these different kings, I've been telling you what's going to happen, and you have not paid attention. You understand, but you don't understand at all. So therefore, I guarantee in the latter days, you are going to understand what you should have understood. And I'm going to have you stand, those of you who are left, and you'll look at a burnt city, a leveled temple, and a decimated people. And you will understand then. I told you it was so, but you didn't want to understand it. You just didn't want to understand, and that's what was happening. So now, God, what are you saying? God said, I know, and you need to know that I know. And so what I'm telling you, and you don't want to understand it, but boy, you are going to understand it. Now, thus in chapter 23, picking up the thought in verse 25. Now, I have heard what the prophet said. The prophets that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart. Verse 27, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. Now, so here the prophets, false prophets, and the people are following them. They're following the false prophets who dream dreams. Philosophy. Think of all the stuff going on, people telling you what we're going to do in the future, and they're promising this and thinking that, and we're doing all that, and they do it. And people like that. We're listening. People, the crowd's listening. They want to follow. And here's the guy said, this is what I think is going to be in your life, and here, this is going to be. And we like that. That's why fortune tellers, and that used to be more popular, perhaps. Now, so in the light of all that, here they are. And you don't want to forget, here's the crowd in Jeremiah's day. Here's the crowd in Laodicea, Revelation chapter 3, the end of the church age. Over, if you would please, while you're here, chapter 5. Remember, you know, I'm just reminding us, chapter 5 of Jeremiah. And you would recall, and in chapter 5, picking up, please, in thought, if I can, verse 31. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means. They're in cahoots together. And my people love to have it so. They love it. They love it. They like what they're getting, and they like it. Remember we have in 2 Timothy, you have itching ears. What's the problem with our day? People don't want to have the truth. They have itching ears. I want something that satisfies me. It my itch. Now, therefore, the end of verse 31, and what will ye do in the end thereof? What are you going to do when the end comes? You all believed in dumb things. None of it's true. What are you going to do when the end comes? Question. Thus, over in chapter 23 and verse 22. Jeremiah 23 again. And in verse 22, picking up the thought, if I may, they're following the prophets. And verse 22, but if they had stood in my ways, in my counsel, if they had listened to me, they didn't, and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. They would have changed their whole world. But if everyone was doing what they should do, it controls the world. Now, if you don't understand that, let me move you to the millennium, when you've got billions of people, because no one dying, and you've got perfect conditions, and they're unsaved. Now, why doesn't that exist? Why doesn't the days of Noah exist? Why doesn't the days of Jeremiah exist? Because God rules with a rod of iron, and everything, there's no false religion, only rightness. Everything is right. When everything is right all around you, it's awful hard to do wrong, isn't it? If everything is right, isn't it hard to do wrong? In the millennium, everything's right. So that's why nothing, why don't they act up? Because everything, you can't. You'd be spotted. You'd be spotted instantly when you acted up out of place. Now, so therefore, looking at it all and everything, picking up, if I can, one other place that will help us, Proverbs chapter 10. And in Proverbs chapter 10, I just want to remind you about how humans think and act and their reasoning. Psalm number 10. You can read Proverbs when you go home. Psalm number 10, picking up, if I may, in verse, just the whole movement of the human heart, picking it up in the light of the context, verse 3. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far, far above, out of his sight. And as for all his enemies, he puffeth at them. There are no problems. There's everything we can handle. There's no questions. To verse 11. He has said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face. He will never see what we do, how we do, when we do. Where is the God of judgment anyway? Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, over if you would, and one other back over to back Jeremiah to get the little ingredients that help you understand the attitude and the thinking. Over to Jeremiah again, and chapter 13. We need another piece now. Jeremiah chapter 13. And picking up, if I can, in that verse 16. Remember now, they were to turn to God with all their heart, but they wouldn't do it. Give God, verse 16, give glory to the Lord your God before he caused darkness and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains. And while you look for light, he turneth it into the shadow of death and maketh it gross darkness. And the darkness gets darker and less light. Less and less any hope of getting out of that tunnel, of knowing the way out. It's going to get darker. If you reject light, you're left in darkness. If you continue to reject light, the darkness will only get darker. That's awesome. Now, that's what you say, well, how come? You've heard the, well, I didn't want to get saved yesterday. I don't want to get saved tomorrow, and I don't want to get saved the next day. So what reasoning do we have? I'm going to get saved the day after that. If I don't want to get saved now, why do I want to get saved then? What's going to change? Wow. Now, back in the light of that, in Jeremiah, in chapter 60, remember, the darkness is going to get darker and darker and darker. Now, picking up the thought, in the light of that, and you remember now, just going back to where we were in Genesis, you don't have to turn there, in Genesis chapter 3, and you would recall that Adam and Eve sinned, and they instantly, they're going to walk with God in the garden at noon, as an afternoon walk, as it were. And of course, they have to hide, and they cover themselves with fig leaves and hid behind the trees. And they concealed themselves. They hid themselves. They didn't want to be seen. They had to cover themselves. They knew that the wonderful light that covered them was all gone. They knew they were naked. And they went and took fig leaves and covered themselves and hid themselves behind the tree. That's what they did. They had to get a covering that could allow themselves to be able to stand before God. And that's why God, the two animals were shed, the coats of skin were given to Adam and Eve, and they covered themselves, not with fig leaves, but with the life of the animal that used to have life, he covered them with their skin. Now, sacrifice. Now, having said that little bit, over if you would, Job 23. Job in chapter 23. And you will notice, please, in Job chapter 23, we were there. But I wanted you to note and remind myself, in the light of that wonderful, wonderful section on Job, I'm going to go right down, I'm going to go to verse 10 for a moment. But he knoweth the way. This is to Job, who's got all kinds of problems all at once, family-wise, physical-wise, every-wise. And he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And then we slid down, and we slid down to verse 14 better. For he had performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. So God, you have a wonderful, wonderful purpose and plan in mind. And God said, absolutely, always, for everything. Now, verse 15, therefore I am troubled at his presence. When I consider, I am afraid of him. When I look, God, what else is there? Because remember now, if you get hit with family, friends, servants, family, all died and sickness from head to toe, you would say, well, what's next? I mean, that's what I'd say. What else is there? God, and there is more. Aha, verse 15. Therefore, I am troubled at his presence. When I consider, I am afraid of him. For God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me. He troubles me. Now, verse 17. Because I was not cut off from before the darkness, neither hath he covered the darkness from my face. God didn't take the thing away. And I'm looking at it, darkness, and I have no way to understand it yet. But I'm looking at it, and God isn't taking it away. Jeremiah, you have lived all of these years under all of these different kings, four of them, bad ones, lived all the years under these different kings, and all it has done is get darker and darker and darker. So when you get out of bed in the morning, it's the same thing all the time. Wow. Here's Job. This is personal for him. He looks at his body, he goes to sleep, if he can, and then wakes up and everything's the same. Now, therefore, chapter 24, verse 1 continues, Why seeing times are not hidden from the Almighty, God, you know everything. That's right. You know everything from start to finish. Uh-huh. Now, God, you know all this. You know it. I don't know it, but you do. And judgment and all of these things that have to happen and will happen, you know them. And I need to know that you know them. And you know what you're doing. Uh-huh. The end of verse 24. Do they that know him not see that his days? Don't they see that God already is you're going to head into next week and next year. God is already there. Don't you guys know, his friends and everyone that are there, his wife, all of those, don't you know what's ahead? Don't you know that God knows? And that's his question. Now, having said that a little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, over to a thing that you know. I'm going to have you look at it. Well, I'll have you look at it. Why not? 1 John, the first epistle of John. 1 John. And you will know, God, what are you telling us? Well, God, you want us to understand. I do. I want you to understand. I want you to understand that you're there and you're in time. And the world, you ought to be like in Ephesians. You don't have to turn there. Ephesians 5:8. Walk in the light as God is in the light. But here in Ephesians 5:8, you're children of light and therefore walk in the light because you're children of light. And understand, Ephesians chapter 5, understand if you would, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now that's for us. We aren't in a light millennium. We aren't in that kind of world. We're heading down the corridor where it gets darker and darker for the tribulation coming up and all of these things. And then getting lighter, darker. And we get out of bed and it isn't any lighter. Isn't any better. Etc. For 100,000 reasons, it seems, sometime. Now, so here we are looking, God, and in the process, as children of light, redeeming the time, because we aren't in there. So God, what are you helping us? Jeremiah, how did you do it? I knew that God knew what he was doing, and I knew what God was going to do, and I knew that God knows what he's going to do, and God knows how he's going to help me. And by the way, they wanted to kill Jeremiah and put Jeremiah in prison, kill him, but they couldn't do it. They did it, but they didn't do it. And it ended up, when he was all done, God gave him, Jeremiah, wonderful favor by way of Nebuchadnezzar, wonderful favor, and God blessed Jeremiah. Jerusalem's in ruins, temple's gone, and God blessed him. Wow. But he had to live through it. So, God, here we are. Why can't we just have a little something? Because it isn't that kind of world. It isn't ready for that kind of world. So, therefore, 1 John, you know, wonderful thing. What are we going to do? We know, if we say we have no sin, we make him a liar. Our old sin nature is there all the time. It doesn't go away. And what are we going to do? Well, verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So you start mumbling around, well, my dear, you're making God a liar. God said, you were dead in trespasses and sin upon from me. You don't have a drop of life. Now you're trying to claim something you don't have. So we aren't going to get along very good until you and I are in agreement on this thing. Why? Because then you aren't going to go and try to tell God that you aren't quite as bad as the other guy, comparing ourselves with ourselves, and et cetera. We did that Sunday to see it. So that we aren't going to do that. No, we don't need to do that. We don't need to cover for our guilt. God died on the cross for it. And wonderfully, God, what are we doing? We're counting ourselves dead indeed unto Christ, in Christ to sin. It's finished. We got the old nature, the thoughts are there, the history is there, the experience is there, the world is there, the world we live in is there. It's all real. And Christ has saved you to the uttermost. Wow. That's an awesome thing. Now, how are we going to handle that? So we can't go around and because you'd be busy confessing your sin, you wouldn't have any time to do anything else. Because if we say we have no sin, we what? Deceive ourselves and make him a liar. So we can't walk around like that. We'd go crazy. You know, people do that in different settings without saying all that. And they try to purge themselves from sin and get rid of the sin nature. No, Christ crucified it. And you're freed. Now, how are we going to enjoy the freedom? Verse 7, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, as children of light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing us from all sin. So we understand that, you understand that, and you practice it. So then you don't beat yourself up every day about what you did, and you're trying to do it right and come out right, and that never works. Yeah, I know people do it, and they're eager to, I'm going to do the right thing. God bless you. God has to help you do the right thing. God is the right thing to do. God makes it happen. And we walk in the light. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, let me just try to go over, if you would please, to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. So God, we aren't trying to help God out. You're not going to help God if that's what you're going to do. Forget it. You know, that's called grace. Wonderful, wonderful grace. That means zero from you and everything from God. Now, so therefore, Psalm 23, picking up if I may, and there's a statement which you know probably, and in the Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And David, what are you going to do? This relates to this whole thing we're looking at. Psalm 23, David, and remember, they didn't like Moses, really, and they didn't like David. That people that are driving the straight ship, and they tolerated them because they couldn't do anything about it. What would you do if you wanted to get rid of Moses? Use your imagination. How would you get rid of Moses? In the light of God, you wouldn't touch him. Not with a 50-foot pole. No. So God, here's David. And David, what are you telling us in your journey? Verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley, I am in the valley of the shadow of death, deep darkness. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. God, David, did you understand it was a heaven on earth in your days? No, it wasn't heaven on earth. I walked in the valley of the shadow of death. I understood that. And I look to you, God. Think of what you just looked at in Ephesians, or at least mentioned it. Redeeming the time because the days are what? Evil. I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and I fear no evil. I'm in it. I'm not going to get out of it. It isn't going to go away. And we carry it in our old nature, day and night. We're part of the problem. We're part of the problem. And God in his saving grace is able to do wondrous things for us. Now, having said that, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. So God, in the midst of it all, Psalm 27. And David again, help us. Psalm 27, David, in verse 5. In the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And I'm going to be right in the middle of everything. And God, think of Psalm 32. We'll go there. You're right next door. Psalm 32. Psalm 32, verse 7. So you see it. David again. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me, surround me, surround the city, surround me with the songs of deliverance. So in the middle of everything going cuckoo and down darkness and not coming out, God, how can you keep going, Jeremiah? Looking to God, who knows everything? They don't want to know that God knows. But God does know. And I know that God knows, and that's good enough. Because there's no moment in my human history that God isn't understanding 1,000,000% of everything that's going on. Hang on to that. That true? That's true. About you. Absolutely. Hang on. I gotta quit. Over if you would, please. Oh. Psalm 139. In Psalm 139, picking up the thought, here's David again. David, help us. And he does. And you know, in Psalm 139, verse 11. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, the darkness and the light are both alike to thee. There is no difference. God, you see everything, and there is nothing hidden from you. Now, if I can, picking up in, verse 3. Thou compassest my path, and my lying down, and art acquainted with all of my ways, but there is not a word in my tongue, but, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. So before you say the next word out of your mouth, God knows it. How's that? You're all going to keep your mouth closed. God knows the next thing you're going to say. Now, the next thing you think, he knows. Think of that. Now, therefore, verse 5, thou hast beset me behind, and therefore, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go, verse 7, from thy spirit? Whether shall I flee from thy presence? If I go up, but go down, no matter where I go, as you read the psalm. David, what are you telling us? There's no way to get away. God, thou knowest. God, you're knowing what you're knowing. And the people of Jerusalem at that point in Judah, they didn't want to know that. They liked the dreamers of dreams and the philosophers and the thinking and the everything's going to be nice next week when I finish school and do this and do that. And that's what they're doing. Wow. Wow. Now, God, David, help us. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Psalm 139, verse 17. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. Trillions and trillions of granules, zillions of them, particles. That the sand, which when I awake, and when I wake up, God, you're still there. God, you never went away. I never can go away. I am omnipresent. I'm everywhere. And you, what were they doing in Jeremiah's day? Making believe God didn't care, and God wasn't there, and God was never going to be there, and everything was going to be as they wished. They were dead wrong. God was there. But they didn't pay attention, and they didn't believe, and therefore they're going to pay, back then in the Nebuchadnezzar, 586, they're going to pay a terrible, terrible, terrible price. And God said so. Now, God, what do we know? Well, I'm present. There's nowhere to be in the assembly of his church. There's our churches, quote unquote. I'm not using that because I can't back that up. But for his church, where his people are, he's there. And he knows. He knows. And all of you are there, have different things going on. They get a replacement. Pretty soon we're going to have someone has everything replaced. You know, I understand. You know, you're getting older and the parts just are wearing out. What can I tell you? It's the way it is. And I suppose if you want to go into business, I'd start making some spare parts and sell them at a discount. Wow. Now, God, you know. Wow, it's a wonderful thing. And God, here we are. Are you knowing about my work? Uh-huh. My school, my health, my family, everything. God, what is it that you don't know? Nothing. What is it that you don't know about next week? Nothing. I know it all. And I'm the only one. No one else. That's why God said, thou shalt not love father, mother, brother, sister more than me. No one is God except God. God is God. So would you please give me credit for being who I am?